Tri-County Contracting, worry-free roofing, siding, and windows. To sign up for a free estimate, get info on their worry-free roof tune-up or their free yearly roof inspections, or to get an instant roof quote, visit them online at tricountycontractingwi.com.
I think, Vinny, there were lots of kids like that through the years, and she had sort of a magical way of calming us all down.
I suppose I couldn't have been the only I wasn't naughty. I just
just a knucklehead.
Trouble sitting around, you know, like.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
At 8:14 on Wisconsin's Morning News, this Tuesday morning, we learned a couple of significant things about the assassination attempt on former President Donald Trump in the last 24 hours, since we were talking about it on the show yesterday. Two things that stand out to me, number one, that this guy was clearly surveilling the former president and may have waited up to half a day for him to show up on that golf course. And two, he never did get a shot off.
ABC's Rachel Scott.
That suspect, Ryan Ralph, taken into custody, appearing in court Monday, facing two felony gun charges. Authorities say he had a loaded SKS, a Soviet-style semi-automatic rifle with scope, a digital camera, a backpack, and a bag containing food. This is now the second attempt on the former president's life in just 9 weeks.
So they think Ralph may have been waiting for the president for up to 12 hours, perhaps even just hoping that the former president would show up golfing on that day. A barrel was seen by an agent who was on the fifth hole, the hole above or in front of the president, saw the rifle barrel, shot at him, and those were the only shots fired before he was later taken into custody.
You know, from time to time as we talk about visits that are still coming, who's here today? Senator Vance here in Wisconsin today.
Yep.
He's going to be in Eau Claire, and then Vice President Harris coming back to the state later this week. Oftentimes, we don't even know, and we're the ones they want to come out and cover those events, exactly where they're going to be or what those logistics are. And then oftentimes, the campaigns, or if the person is actually in the office, the White House, for example, will say, this is not for public release. So this is so you can plan, but
sure,
we don't want
right.
this out, and we generally cooperate. And this is why they don't want the movements of some of these folks who are under this protective detail to be widely known that far in advance.
And that's what makes this so ominous, is that it was kind of a quick turnaround that he was even going to be there.
This was an extremely close call, and the acting director of the Secret Service emphasizing that this was an unexpected visit by Donald Trump to his golf club. This was not on his official schedule. He says that he spoke to Donald Trump directly today. He assured him that he has the highest level of protection that the Secret Service has to offer. We're also learning that Donald Trump and President Biden spoke by phone. Trump saying it was a very nice conversation focused on his safety and protection.
A little bit more now on what the president is saying about this situation.
The Biden administration is asking Congress now for some sort of supplemental, some more money and some more resources for Secret Service, given the kind of challenging environment that they're facing right now with as many people as they are tasked with protecting.
That is CBS correspondent Manuel Bajorquez.
That's fine, but where are you going to get them? They don't grow on trees, right?
Good point.
Research on this has been that they're depleted in their ranks. Like, there aren't enough agents as it is. Now, one is financing it and ordering that detail. And certainly you can argue the most important detail should be for the sitting president, sitting vice president, as she is the nominee, and for former President Trump. So, you know, that's where your priority should be. That said, like, you don't just pull people out of nowhere.
See, I think typically a former president does get detail, but not that much. And you would assume, I don't know this, but you would assume that like the Obamas might have even some private security that they hire to handle some of their business when they are around. But the Secret Service does a little bit, but not that much. But when you are a nominee, like the former president is, he's also getting a little bit more then.
Right. And no doubt, because that changes. He's more than the former president.
Right,
he
right.
also could be the next president.
Right. As far as Routh goes, a little bit more on this suspected attempted shooter.
The vast search underway. Multiple properties. The FBI launching an urgent investigation into the man they believe was trying to kill former President Trump. Authorities saying Roth has a lengthy criminal record and a disturbing obsession and frustration with the war in Ukraine. Roth repeatedly posted about supporting Ukraine and traveled there 6 times since Russia's war began in 2022.
In fact, yeah, reporters have spoken to him before when he's been in Kyiv. Because he'd have like a flag bandana on, and he would kind of talk about he would talk on behalf of a legion there that he had nothing to do with. Like they've even said that, like, no, we don't know this guy, but he would show up there and say like, yeah, we need more people to help fight and support Ukraine. He was spotted by a legion on protection on Sunday and now in custody.
So in terms of what the president's detail looks like for today, he still has an event that's supposed to be in Flint, Michigan today, and that is still on.
Yep.
So we'll keep an eye on that and see what that looks like. 8:19 on Wisconsin's Morning News. Bye. 8:24 on Morning News. Big changes coming to Instagram.
Yes.
Is this going to change what I look at? Or no, this is just like metrics and
It changes more for your kiddos, although your kiddos are 17, so they won't notice a difference. Anyone under 16 will notice a difference using Instagram. Meta announcing new restrictions for teen accounts after years of public pressure. Anyone under 18 who signs up in the U.S. will be placed into a teen account. It's more of a 16 and under. We can get into the weeds a little bit, but it's basically 16 and under that you really got to... With existing accounts being migrated over the next 2 months, teen accounts will automatically be private, which means they cannot be viewed without the account owner accepting a follower request. So that means that no one can just follow you. You have to accept that request at the start.
Meta says it's also adding new optional parental supervision features that let parents see who their teen has messaged, view the topics they're looking at, and set daily time limits.
Stricter messaging settings will ensure that they can only be messaged by people they follow or are already connected to. Offensive words and phrases will be automatically filtered from teens' direct messages and posting comments. Teenagers will also be automatically placed in more restrictive content settings, which limit what they see from the accounts they don't follow. So this is when that we've seen that come up where the algorithm pops in all this crazy stuff on someone's account, and that obviously can be no good.
What I'm interested in is how they know how old you are. Can you still set up very easily fake accounts? Because if you don't know this, you should. Your kid has an Instagram account and then also their Finsta.
Okay, are you ready?
Do you know what the Finsta is?
What's that?
So they have two accounts. One is like the public facing where they use their name and whatever. And they do stuff with that. And they'll post, I'm in National Honor Society. And here's my football picture or whatever. And their Finsta account is where they post all their party pics and their other
stuff.
Where mom and dad don't necessarily think to look. So your kids have two.
According to Axios, to prevent teenagers from lying about their age to circumvent the new settings, Instagram will now require users to verify their age in new ways.
Okay.
Such as via a government-issued ID or facial scans. Methods will vary depending on the country.
Okay, so here's a problem and pushback with that. What do you not like about that?
I don't want my kids scanning a picture.
Scanning pictures and actual government information.
Right.
How much of that do they retain? I mean, granted, better than TikTok, where they're arguing we can't even have this because it's in the hands of an adversarial nation. Well, it's still, you want Mark Zuckerberg to have all that data on your kid?
But we're okay just letting the entire world have all the data on our kids.
So we are,
To your point. That's a great question. So I'm trying to get a little bit more detail on how exactly that would work. Because the question would be, okay, well, if you don't provide that facial scan or government-issued ID picture, does that mean get an account?
Right.
Because, you know, the skeptic would assume that Instagram is doing this because they want to find ways to keep the teenagers on their site. They don't want to do all this and lose, right? Well, maybe they do. Jolene Kent, who you heard earlier from CBS, she did ask about that.
How much of this is driven by the fact that you want to cultivate a safer space for teenagers in order to keep them on the platform, to keep your shareholders happy as a public company?
With this change, we are likely to see teens maybe use the platform a little bit less, change the way they use the platform.
So they seem to be okay That was the Meta global head of safety there speaking to Jolene Kent there.
Well, part of it could be, too. You don't want mom and dad coming in there and deleting it. That's it. We're done with this. You don't get to have it. So faced with that alternative, this is probably better for them. And we should point out, like, as much as I believe these social media companies have responsibilities and whatnot, as any company does to be ethical, by the same token, blaming them for wanting to make money is really the antithesis of business,
right?
Right? Why do you go to work every day? Why do you start a small business? Yes, it's pride and ethics, but also supposed to make money.
Yeah, the point of Meta is not to help you communicate. Right. The point of Meta is to make money.
We ought not be surprised by that. And they're going to make as much money as they possibly can. 828 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Story we've been following, Vince, from overnight. Breaking out of New York City, hip-hop mogul Sean Diddy Combs in custody. Woke up behind bars this morning. He was arrested by Homeland Security investigators in New York City late Monday in a culmination of a nearly year-long investigation into human trafficking and abuse claims from several people, including an ex-girlfriend, ABC's Aaron Katursky.
His accusers paint a dark picture of a sexual deviant who preyed on young women and men looking to make it in the industry, plied them with drugs and alcohol, and forced them into sex acts, all of which Combs has denied. The criminal investigation spilled into public view last March when HSI agents raided Diddy's homes in Los Angeles and Miami.
Now, we've yet to see him go into court unless they snuck him in. His lawyer was seen walking into court, and he was happy to stop and chat.
He said the number of cameras that were around as he was walking in trying to see his client, right?
They were expecting this since March, he said today, his lawyer. He said that they knew that this was coming, but they're going to fight like hell. And he says they're confident that he will be found innocent. When the feds are involved, though, usually the case, I mean, everything is always innocent until proven guilty, but the feds don't mess around.
And it's been a while, right? This investigation has been ongoing. So why this moment? Mm-hmm. Why last night, as opposed to calling the lawyer, saying, turn yourself in, right?
Yeah, you know, and TMZ things. Had reported that he had showed, they were expecting this to happen today. And that he had actually, his lawyer goes, well, we even brought him back to New York City. He's been in New York because we saw this coming. You know, they were alerted about it. And it was supposed to happen today. But for whatever reason, they went after him late Monday night instead, just to get him in bars as soon as they could and go through the process. The indictment's been sealed, but it could be released as soon as this morning.
8:38 on Wisconsin's Morning News. About the longest you can know somebody outside of your family is about as long as I've known the wonderful lady and author I'm going to tell you about here. So my friend Laura Merritt, who is now Laura Bird, that's her married name, she and I were pals in 4K. At Wilson Elementary School in Wauwatosa. Don't know if I met her before that, because we're kind of neighbors. She grew up in Ravenswood, and I was just across Blue Mountain Road from
her. But you have memories of her in 4K.
So one of my longest friends, right? So that's about as long as you can know someone, right? When do you even start having memories? Anyway, we've got an event coming up together in Wauwatosa. You're invited. I will tell you about that in a moment. So Laura lives in Madison now, and she's just put out her second novel in the category of what they call middle grade fiction. So that's targeting 8 to 12-year-old readers. But she says kind of anybody can enjoy it, and particularly if you are listening to this show right now, you might enjoy it as well, because both of her novels are set in Wisconsin's North Woods.
I think adults should read middle grade fiction all the time. Like, I don't know one adult who wouldn't benefit from reading a middle grade novel. So I think adults will very much embrace my novel, especially if they're from Wisconsin, because like you said, there are a lot of references to our state. And I based both of my books in a fictional small town up north, kind of based on like the Rhinelander, Boulder Junction, Eagle River area. So if you've been up north, you know this area. And it's my favorite place on earth. And so I do bring in a lot of Wisconsin references, you know, like musky fishing and meat raffles. And they're sort of like Wisconsin tropes, if you will. But I think readers really love them.
You like the meat raffle?
That's a big Wisconsin thing. You're right.
They're just all these drops in there, right? Yep. You're like, oh, yeah, I've done that. Or, oh, I've been a place like that. So crazy thing was, I read both of Laura's books when our family, when we were up north this summer. It just happened to be. the time that I had to read. So about exactly the same place where she would have these novels taking place. So they're fun reads. Really good characters if you have young readers in your house. The second book is called Marvelous Jackson, and Jack was actually a carryover character from her first book.
So in my first book, Crossing the Pressure Line, he's a peripheral character. And like you said, he's really kind of a jerk. He rides around on his dirt bike. He stirs up trouble. He gives everyone a headache. And I think all of us, when we reflect back on our childhood, we can all kind of like remember someone who was like that, right? But I didn't want him to be this one-dimensional person because exactly like you said, if you start peeling back the layers, there is so much underneath that exterior that makes a child like that tick. And I think it's our job as adults to really peel off those layers and help that child out, figure out what's wrong, figure out what they need, figure out how we can support them.
Or maybe you were that kid, right?
Could have been.
So Laura Ann Bird, Madison author, originally from Wauwatosa, out with her second novel. We've got a book chat coming up this weekend that I'm hosting with her at the library in Wauwatosa. So other thing I like about Laura's writing is while it is targeted toward young readers, and you've got some, is your daughter right in this?
She's 13, she's on the back, so she's right there. She's a huge reader.
She would like that. I'll bring them in for
you. Okay.
She would super like them. I mean, Laura's books deal with, like, it's not frivolous stuff. It's bullying, life challenges. One of the characters in this second book is being raised by a single dad. Another recently lost a grandparent. I mean, it's stuff that people actually deal with.
I mean, that's life. Like, you talk to any kid, and any kid out there is going to be facing big stuff, right? And what I love about middle grade fiction is, sure, you know, you can find middle grade fiction, which is about, like, you know, puppy dogs and rainbows and fuzzy things and all that. But, like, middle grade fiction, I think, trusts that kids can handle the big stuff because they can. Because I think it speaks to them and what they're going through. And I want kids to feel seen and validated and to know that they're not alone in their grief and their loss and in their feelings of not belonging and not fitting in.
So if it sounds interesting, anyway, the books are called Crossing the Pressure Line. That's the first. The new one is Marvelous Jackson. It's out now. So when we were kids, Laura and I and generations of young people grew up at the Wauwatosa Public Library. And every one of us knew a very special librarian named Miss Jean Ann. And she was warm. And then as you got older, she was cool enough, right, to stay relevant
in the
world. And she made you excited about books and reading. And just about every kid who visited the library knew and loved her. Can you believe she's going to join us for the book chat?
Oh, fantastic.
On Saturday.
So if you grew up in Wauwatosa, like you and me, and you were a child in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or early 2000s, and you went to the public library, and you went to Miss Jean Ann's story time hours, you know that they were mind-blowing. She was so wonderful, and I think she lit a fire under so many kids to fall in love with books and storytelling. I mean, she certainly did with me, and I know she did with you. Like, our moms would carpool you and me there. And I've always thought about her, like, what happened to Miss Jean Ann? I based my character of the librarian in Marvelous Jackson right off her. And so through a friend of a friend of a friend, I tracked Miss Jean Ann down. She still lives in Wauwatosa. She's retired now. And I reached out to her, and I think she was like, oh, who are you? And I explained who I was, and I explained who you were, and how we wanted her to join us for this conversation. And she's been so gracious and lovely, and I can't wait to get together with her.
I'm actually pretty glad she didn't remember me, because if she had, it would probably have been for the wrong reasons.
Right? Not true. He's
that one who couldn't sit still and was, you know.
I think, Vinny, there were lots of kids like that through the years, and she had sort of a magical way of calming us all down.
I suppose I couldn't have been the only. I wasn't naughty. I just
a knucklehead.
Trouble sitting around, you know, like
him.
So the book is called Marvelous Jackson. It's written by Wauwatosa's Laura Ann Bird, and that is coming up. We've got our event on Saturday. Our book chat's going to be from 1:30 to 2:30. So great for your young readers as well. But adults, just by yourself, also entirely welcome. If you're curious about seeing Miss Jean Ann again, she has promised to be there and join us for that. That's at the Public Library in Wauwatosa on Saturday. If you want more information on Laura's book, you can text the word book to 855-616-1620. That's book to to 855-616-1620, and I'll send you the link to the story that we have up online right now. Hope to see you on Saturday. 849 on Wisconsin's Morning News.
WTMJ, W277-CV, and WKTI HD2 Milwaukee. From the Annex Wealth Management Studios, this is News Radio WTMJ, a Good Karma brand station.
On Wisconsin's Morning News. Oh, yeah, that was a different song. Yeah. Sorry, producer note for Greg Pancake Hill.
You hear that?
Yeah, I hear it. I'm going to the game tonight.
You hear it?
Nah, that's not what I was looking for.
No. I'm not hearing that kind of buzz. I'm hearing better buzz than that. There it is.
This is what you're using for Brewer's Buzz now?
Brewer's Buzz is on. Got a magic number of 2. That means they could actually clinch the NL Central tonight at home at AmFam Field if they win and the Cubs, who play at the exact same time, lose.
So that means this would be the champagne and cigars celebration,
yes,
right? Dumping beer all over each other, the goggles, mm-hmm, all that plays out in the clubhouse.
All of it.
You definitely want that to happen at home, which is really special when you clinch, because then your fans know it's happening and guys are kind of in and out of the clubhouse, right? Up on the dugout, the whole place is going crazy. That could be tonight. So setting the scenario, the Cubs do play the worst team in baseball.
Yes, they play the A's at Wrigley.
And the Cubs have been playing well.
They're
so for the Brewers to clinch tonight, we would not only have to beat one of the best teams in baseball for the second night in a row, the Phillies, but have that happen and the Cubs lose.
Murph was kind of like, hey, we're just worried about getting a win. You know?
Yeah.
He was kind of not going to put the cart before the horse when we talked to him earlier.
And far more important that the Brewers get the win, because we are still chasing the Phillies. Chasing the Dodgers, because we don't want to stop just at the division. Because the division champ with the worst record among the three still has to play in that wild card round.
Is that what happened last year?
Yes. Right? And who did we run into? Arizona?
Yep.
I don't know.
Ended up going to
different teams, same movie. Every time we end up in that stupid round, we have a great season and things, you know, we end up facing a buzzsaw and bad things happen. So I don't have no interest in seeing that movie again. So we got to chase down the Dodgers or the Phillies.
Right now, 2 games behind the Dodgers for that elusive 2 seed.
Okay. And what, 3 back of the Phillies? Probably at least 3 or 4.
3.
All right. So you win 2 more against the Phillies. Now you're right there up against them. That's a lot to ask. This is one of the best teams in baseball for a reason. So I'm getting greedy, but either way, the NL Central is imminent.
Yes. The buzz is real. Got to be excited about it. Come on, light it up.
Okay, I'm excited about it. Do I have to?
Isn't that fun? Aren't you excited?
No. I am excited. I'm going tonight. It's kind of going to hang out with some folks from work as well. So my plan was, you know, we made these plans a while back, was 6:40 is an earlier pitch than some, but you and I literally get up at 3 in the morning.
All right. So
my plan was, you know, I'll come early, we'll hang out, stay for a few innings, get the taste, and then I'll check out. Now, normally, if I'm just going to a game, I don't care if we're losing by 1,000 runs. I'm there gate to gate.
You got to stay. Imagine if they clinched tonight.
But
you're the one guy. Well, how'd you go to bed?
I don't know. I was really tired. All right, we'll keep an eye on it. WTMJ forecast sponsored by Dave Dre Camp Heating, where your comfort is their family's tradition. 87 degrees, 81 if you're by the lake. Patchy fog possible tonight under mostly clear skies and a lakeside low of 60, a little bit cooler, away from the shores of Lake Michigan. Next chance for rain would be Friday with a slight chance and a high of 83. 66 in Milwaukee, WTMJ's Political Power Hour with Steve Scafidi is up next.